You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, that wasn't the new music. That's okay.
I was waiting for it.
I was waiting for the new music.
On your face says everything. I was waiting for it too, and then it never came. I was like, oh.
He said, okay. Well, maybe next week.
It's okay, Ronan.
Got a DM from our producer. That's all good. Well, it's been a rough week last week for us folks in Texas, wasn't it?
It was interesting, to say the least. What does he say? I mixed them.
Maybe by the end of the show, folks, we'll be...
We'll preview the new music.
We have another reason to live to see what we have music-wise at the end of the show. Wow, you know, we talked about attitude last week.
Time.
Water or electricity for a couple of days. And you start looking at creative ways to flush the toilet. Yeah, man. That's an attitude adjustment right there.
Yeah. They were delivering water to a neighborhood in San Angelo just to flush the toilets. Like, they were delivering water for that specifically. It was a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like camping, you know, NASCAR camping or camping. Yeah, just so no, but the water came back on. Then you had to boil it. Couldn't drink it, but you had water so you could flush the toilet. It was nice and milky. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, no, you know, so I'm going to stay away from it. But no, I'm not stinking up to high heaven today. We did get everything back in order, and everything is where it needs to be. But man, it's funny to see what other people did out there. The finger pointing at this person, that person, the other person. And it really, when people get challenged at their core level, in this case, I wouldn't say it was my core level as a person, but my core level on my Maslow hierarchy of food, water.
Well said. Yeah.
And just like squeezing an orange, right? And what's left is what's inside that orange. And you get to see what people are really made of when the chips are down. So, regrettably, I got to see some bad things. I got to see some good things too out of people during this thing. But yeah, man, COVID was the furthest thing that could grow in minus 10 degrees or whatever. You know,
you didn't hear a word about masks, man, or anything.
Nobody died of COVID. Time. Yeah, nobody. Nah, it's.
We had a real problem on our hands.
Yeah, man.
But did you happen to see the video this week that I put out?
Some of it, I know.
It is, and that was a lot of what we talked about was the blaming thing. And just like you said, every time there's an opportunity to do stuff like that, there's an opportunity to do good things as well. And so every time we're in one of these situations, we see the absolute worst in some people and the absolute best in others.
Right.
And that's why your attitude, and we'll talk about that more today, that it's so important because it can be the determining factor or which way you go.
Yeah. 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 Which way do you go? And so we're going to pick up on attitude, but another thing that we can all do is we can try to be a blessing to other people. And man, I know I'm not one to talk, and I need to work on this more than anybody else does. So, but we need to, you know, we need to say kind words to people, right? Even if it's a backhanded or a secondhand compliment. I could say, Neil, tell your dad I said hello. I really like the way he does things. It's, you know what I mean? And that would be a secondhand compliment sent through you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I can't get in front of your dad, you know, but Good Lord, there's some feedback here. I'm going to turn the volume down. But anyway, so but we need to be a blessing to others and say positive words, words of encouragement. And I think if we have that positivity toward our fellow man, that can be the backdrop to a good attitude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not only that, but when you put that out into the atmosphere and when you put that into the environment, you know, you're creating this environment. And then when things like last week happen, there's a better chance. You increase the possibility of people responding in a healthy way. People will give themselves more credit. And what I mean by that is John Maxwell says something really interesting. And when I heard it from him, it was so easy to understand. He said, a lot of people don't think they're leaders and they don't think they're in a leadership position, but everyone has the opportunity to influence someone. So if you are an individual who influences one or more people, I just saw that too. If you influence anyone, you are then a leader. And so it's real important for everyone to understand that you have an impact, a significant impact on your surroundings and the people close by. And so to just kind of pretend like that's not real and just be so casual about waltzing through life is almost irresponsible when we all understand that, because we all have a responsibility.
That's right. That's right.
I just wish people would recognize their significance and existence. You know, we all are making an impact. Like, what kind of impact are you making?
Right. Yeah. Words make a difference.
Yeah.
And the words we use are very important. So anyway, so let me go ahead and finish up on the attitude. So we talked about, you know, having a very productive attitude has 3, 6, 8 parts to it. Okay. And we can add more, but an 8 is probably pushing it. We have the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, which we have as kind of standard equipment in our 12-step programs. But we add to that responsibility, humility, caring, objectivity, and gratitude. And so if we add those elements to it, you know, that can really finish off a great attitude. Let me park a little bit on gratitude. You know, gratitude is something that another thing that we need to practice in our daily affairs and practice in our lives is being grateful and having gratitude. Excuse me. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And
this place is falling apart. Lights are going out in the hall. We're still recovering here in Texas.
We have electricity though.
Yeah. Yeah, we have it. It's just, anyway, there's construction on the other side and we share the switch. It's a beat now. Anyway, gratitude. See, I'm grateful that we had lights for as long as we did. We'll get them back here in a minute. Versus there was a flickering of light in the hall. You know, I'm grateful that there was some damage done here, actually, where I'm at with the burst pipes and those things. And it could have been a whole lot worse. So, you know, I took the high road and didn't complain about some things, but was grateful that it wasn't worse and that we're able to operate today. So, and that's a choice, right? It's a choice. Your attitude is a choice. And these things that comprise a good attitude are willful actions that you control. Mm-hmm. And you can control them in, you know, 3 ways, just nothing, positive or negative. So, but being having that sense of gratitude. So what are your thoughts on gratitude, Neil?
I think about if I'm thinking, or I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. If I'm practicing objectivity, like if I'm thinking that way, I should in turn be grateful, mm-hmm. because it, especially in our position and in a free country and with the resources available to us and the opportunity pretty much wide open for anyone to build a life, quite literally anyone can become successful if you choose to. And so that alone is a simple fact. So there's already something to be grateful for. And if I'm grateful and I practice gratitude and I start from there, I'm always able to see the opportunities and I'm able to see what I have at my disposal rather than thinking of what I need and what would make this better. And because that's negative, you know, to act as if though I don't have enough to start my day or to start a project is, well, that's a terrible start.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I am remiss when I talked about gratitude, objectivity, caring, all these are attitudes in of themselves. Okay. So you can have an attitude of gratitude, no pun intended, an attitude of being objective, a caring attitude, a humble attitude. So, you know, many would argue that these are also attitudes within themselves. Anyway, it's a stylistic thing. I think of these as sub attitudes that if you practice these and you pretty much hold on to these other components, that your overall attitude on any given day will be positive.
Yeah. You become a person of virtue.
Right. Right. Without virtue signaling.
Right. It's timely.
I know.
It's timely.
I hate it. Don't you just hate 2021?
I love it. What are you talking about? I love it.
21. I have a good attitude. Sorry. See? I can't get down the rabbit hole here.
It's that easy.
It's just that easy. Yeah. And that's funny, right? I mean, it's not our nature to have a good attitude. I mean, yeah. How many selfishness classes do two-year-olds take?
Right. Yeah.
Because they know how to be selfish, right? Yeah. Ask a 2 or 3 year old. I think I said this on another show. It's one of my favorites. I said, why did the sun come up today? And I said, because that's when I wake up. Okay. I knew you were special. And that's why the sun came out today. It's because of you.
That's why I came to work today. That's why we're all here. We're here for you.
So,
you have to train yourself and others to be this way. It's only natural to, you see something, you want it, you take it. I can use that. That's mine. You know, it's at least the thought is there. And, you know, insert moral compass, value system, ethics,
yeah.
Discernment, attitude.
Yeah.
You have to build it.
And do you want it? Where's the microphone? Do you want it based on your own selfish needs? Do you want it for the greater good, for not only your betterment, but for everybody around you?
Yeah.
And that's why that spirituality is so important. You need to have a spiritual program as part of your program. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of these things need to be seen through the lens of your spiritual beliefs, right?
Can I add something to that?
Please.
Because you bringing that up, I know it's not coincidence. I think this is yesterday or the day before. Someone who I've known for some years, and he's in and out of recovery. I know him really well. And so he was asking me some stuff about talking about basic things that are important to know as a man, ways to operate and live your life and how to treat people. And so we were talking about that. And he was asking me for some direction with a couple of things when it comes to relationships and how to act and how to treat others. And so we were talking about it. And he said, well, do you know any books I could read that would help me? I said, yeah, absolutely. And so I listed a couple, and I listed three, and two out of the three were Had a Religious Foundation. And I said, hey, listen, and I know this individual is not too open to that. I said, listen, these two books, the foundation is this, but there are basic principles and understanding in here that has nothing to do with what you believe. And it's important to know as a man. And so he said, I'm going to go ahead and steer clear of the Christian ones. Thanks, though. I said, okay, no problem. I said, but let me tell you this. You better have an alternative. Because if you don't want this, you've got to find something from which to draw your value system and ethics and principles to live on. You have to have a filter to your behavior and thoughts. And if you don't, then you're saying you know better. And as we know, that's a trap.
Right.
So pick something. I'm never going to tell you what you have to pick because it's your life and, you know, that's your free will. But understand, you better have something. Right. And like you said, to be Christian, Catholic, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, find something. Find something.
Yeah. And that's a good argument because, you know, if there isn't anything where they can't find something, then, you know, I had a guy that literally thought that he was his own God. I mean, smart, educated, and you know, very rejecting of a power greater than himself, very accomplished individual. And I'm like, no, you cannot do, you know, you can't do that. You know, you will fail. You know, you will let yourself down every time, such as you have thus far, because you're sitting on the other side of the table from me, which most people, unless I know you socially, that it's usually you're not sitting across from me for something good that has happened in your life. So, and man, you know, so we had to argue what was good. You know, good orderly direction, right? I don't believe in God. I was religiously abused, so I believe in good orderly direction. Okay, where does good come from? Okay, yeah. I don't believe in that. I believe in the power of the group. Okay, what guides the power of the group? Just a collective of individuals. You know, what guides? I believe in a Maytag washing machine.
I've heard it.
You heard that one?
I've heard it. I've heard pencil. I've heard doorknob.
Oh, the doorknob is another. Okay. Man, the last time I checked, I've never, ever had somebody say, man, you know, I've been 25 years clean and thanks to the doorknob got me through.
Let me tell you how I heard about the doorknob. I had just entered.
Hey, this is a family show now. It's a family show.
Okay. This will be, this is the censored version. I entered rehab in Canton, Texas. 2 days in, I had a seizure hit my head. My heart stopped and I was dead for 8 minutes. And then I was revived. 2 days after I had that experience, a guy told me in a meeting that I could choose a doorknob as a higher power. Do you want to know what I was thinking? You ass. That's what you got from me? I just died. Like, and I'm here again, and I'm just in the, I'm awestruck at the whole circumstance. And you just told me to rely on the doorknob. Thanks, buddy.
But you hit the doorknob on the way to the ground that Slotnowski. That's somebody else's story.
I'm going to take that. See your creative writing.
I've heard working in prisons, man, you hear just about every rationalization for any phenomenon, right?
Yeah.
But, man, we've just really sidetracked this attitude thing into a spiritual discussion, huh?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming, but
no, it happened. No. But, okay. So let's go back. We have an attitude. We want to have a positive attitude for ourselves and others. We don't want it to be so pathologically self-focused, that we're just doing the positive attitude for our own betterment, because that really doesn't work. We want to have an attitude that has breadth and depth to it, that not only is good for us, but it's also for those good for others around us, right? Because we are interactive beings.
Mm.
In order to have those components of your attitude functioning on a consistent basis, it needs to become part of you. Those things need to become part of you. And I know at first it's very mechanical. And I am not going to lie. Being objective and caring sometimes are mechanical for me. Yeah. And I have to willfully do better in those areas and humbly ask for feedback around from others. Two people gave me feedback on two ladies in my life gave me feedback on the phone. I'm kind of rough with some of my we'll say prison clients. Oh, I've heard you on the phone. You treat those people like crap. You're just blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. And so I really had to take a look at that and really soften up on my phone game.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I didn't necessarily think that. I thought I was just being objective. I thought I was being clear. I didn't realize that it came across as, I don't know, gruff, mean, hopefully not condescending, but possibly knowing that. Anyway, so that just tells me there's work that I need to do in my character, right? Humbly asked to remove these defects in character.
Defects of character
that we all have, regardless if we have 2 years in the program or just kidding, it's a joke. Those 2-year-olds know everything. I'm sorry, man. Regardless if how long, you know, we've been working at this, we all have defects in character, you know, and so we need to do that. But the more that these are shored up and healed and replaced with good things such as humility, objectivity, caring, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, and all those things, that our operating system becomes better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I don't understand how if I don't have the stuff to look back to, if I don't have a foundation, then I get lost really, really quickly. Because just like you're saying, there's things that I'm so focused on getting things done and making sure that things are taken care of sometimes that I forget, oh, there's no sensitivity in my tone. Oh, I just sounded like I could care less how they feel or how they receive this. I just want them to get it done. And part of that is true if I am too focused on the end goal. Yeah. I really don't care how everybody feels about it sometimes.
Right. And you know, you and I had a conversation yesterday or the day before, Saturday, and you were surprised at something that I said, and I was surprised that you were surprised that I knew about the something that I said. Do you remember what we're talking about there?
I think so.
The podcast or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, man, I can't believe you know that. I'm like, okay, dude, man. Anyway, I was surprised that you were surprised.
But that, it's so random, though.
How would you assume that?
Yeah. Like, how would I know?
Shame on you.
I know. I should have known. I should have known.
No, don't say that. Don't say you should have known. But just, you could have. You got surprised. That's okay. It's no big deal. But I'm just saying, right? It was something outside of your value system of thinking that some boundary that I, in a good way, surprised you. So this is not about X's and O's are good and bad, but it's kind of interesting. I'm like, well, okay. Well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just goes to show you that you truly don't know what other people are thinking.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because we've known each other for, what is it, 15 years almost?
15 years, yeah.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
And to still, so that's why it's funnier. Because then when you still surprise each other after that long, you're like, huh.
Well, but the last year, yeah. And look, last year, we've been, you know, probably 14 years of knowledge in the last year, you know, in terms of.
Yeah.
Easily. We're in daily, yeah. Every other day contact. So, but anyway, right. So the long story short is here is that that's why they say honesty, open-minded and willingness. I mean, of course you're open-minded about it, but I'm like, wow, I never knew that about you. Like, okay. You know, like, it's no big deal. And so, but being open-minded lets that in. Okay. And it's not, you know, it's not, earth shaking or anything like that. So, so yes. So our exercise, one of the things, we're not going to do the exercise per se, but select one of these, you know, eight attitudes.
I already did the exercise. I thought we were going to. I did the whole worksheet. This is the first time I've done homework ever.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Didn't, but you,
do you want me to, do you want you me to do, do,
you do what you put on the worksheet.
Okay. So the first exercise says select one of the eight attitudes and describe a recent situation in which you found yourself struggling with that attitude. So this is an example of when I should have done something differently. And I went way back into the vault for this one because it's significant and it's easy and it should be easy for everyone to understand, I think. We'll see. So in 2013, I was arrested, taken off the street. I was making some poor choices, living dangerously. And the arrest and that interruption to my plan in my life, most likely, not most likely, it saved my life. It was part of a sequence of events that saved my life and the lives of others. You know, I was running around with a weapon and engaging in the exchange and distribution of drugs that kill people. So, you know, it's saving my life. It's saving other people's life. It's taking things off the street that shouldn't be there. And this arrest was the beginning of a new opportunity at life for me. Okay. I didn't see it any of those ways. I did not have any gratitude. I was not open-minded. I saw this as I'm about to get 7 to 10 years in prison and there's nothing good coming to this. So I'm about to have to get in the mindset of gladiator school and I'm with them and not with you. I was just thinking all sorts of unhealthy thoughts and I was not taking any responsibility. And this is when it's all happening. Like I was also having a spiritual experience, realizing that the lie I was living was a lie. And I wanted to do better. But, you know, at the same time, I'm dealing with all these emotions and my attitude was not, wow, I sure am glad this happened. You know, but this just saved me and everybody else. And when I looked back months, weeks, and months later, when I was in a better place and actually choosing to invest in myself, I was able to have that attitude. So now when I look back, I'm grateful. You know, I'm so glad I was picked up that day.
Yeah.
That was my example for the first exercise.
Okay. So, you know, this is one of those things in patience that something had happened to you in 2013, seemingly a negative, turns out to be a positive, but it turns out to be a positive with the passage of time.
True.
And so, one of the things we teach people is to be patient, okay? So if you're in this sober living house with us, you know, this is yet again or yet an opportunity for good things to happen down the road, okay? And they happen by the next right decision followed by the next right decision, you know, and then, you know, God willing, there'll be a good future as a result of all those choices and continued abstinence and et cetera. So, but you don't see it at the time, right? You're just checking a box. I went through rehab. In order for me to get out of rehab, I had to have a discharge plan. The discharge plan said I had to go to some sort of a sober living house. So I'm here. Now I got to be here for 90 days. You know, hopefully they don't have that attitude. But will we see people with that attitude? Yeah. Yeah. But
when I felt these attitudes and I put these into practice about 3-4 weeks in, because I was ready. But I can think back to other times I went to jail and other times I went to treatment where that was not the case. You know, I never reached that point, unfortunately.
For you, what was the tipping point? Because there's always that point that you can always go back to where you were or close to it. It's like climbing a hill, and now you're on the other side of that hill, you know. But as you were climbing that hill, at some point you were at the top, and you could have gone back the other direction. So what are some of the things that helped you keep marching north?
I think I finally understood that my way wasn't going to work because I had run out of ideas, and I was disappointed that I didn't have any better ideas. So that's when I realized, okay, I've got to try something else. And it can't be similar to this, because I started looking at everybody else who was doing anything similar, and they were older, mm-hmm. had bigger problems, or they were dead. They were dying, and it was a simple fact that I wanted more. Like, I wanted more out of life, and I thought I could get it this way, and I had finally realized that I couldn't. I was like, no, it's not going to work. And it was heartbreaking for me, because I was so sure I could do it. You know, I was sold, like, I can make this work. And I was wrong. And also for me, when I was 19 with that suicide attempt, I fast forward to 27, the day I got arrested. I remember I had this feeling in the pit of my stomach, and like my spirit was at an all-time low. And I remember the only thing I could compare it to was the same feeling I felt that day when I tried to kill myself. So I was like, okay, we're here again. And I didn't think I'd ever be here again, or at least I was just hoping it wouldn't happen.
Right.
And last time I tried to kill myself, what am I going to do this time? And that's when I prayed to something I didn't know if it existed or not. You know, that was my point, because I never thought I'd feel that low again.
Yeah. Well, at least you're able to recognize that there you were again. And you were able to recognize, or you chose to recognize, that you would come to the end of yourself.
The death of you.
Yeah, and that's what I really fear with the adventure we're about ready to go on. Some folks will have come to the end of themselves, but some folks maybe not. Or what I call the split decision, where somebody's come to the end of themselves with their chemical use and they're going to be abstinent, but they've only just scratched the surface of their character defects and all their other psychological things that need to change about themselves in order to stay clean. So
yeah, these are the folks that I ain't working no program. I'll stay sober. I'm not working a program. Don't you tell me what I'm fixing to do. I'm sober. Leave me alone.
And yeah. And that's a good, because there's more than one program.
Yeah.
There's more than one program to do this. There's other, gosh, I don't want to say that, other paths to that center, but there are other paths. And I think, look, there just are, because no one person's recovery looks identical to the next. So obviously there are differences. What do you think about this challenge? Like, it's is it, you know, at some point, is it the meetings that keep you sober, or at what point do you say you're keeping sober, or what point do you say it's me in conjunction with my spiritual program and the meeting? So kind of what, if you could walk us through, you know what I mean? Cause there's, like you said, those first people think, okay, I'll go to 90 meetings in 90 days, the 90 and 90 and the program, the program didn't work for me. I tried it. It didn't work for me. Anyway, have any sense about the mix and match between your own free will? Cause you have to do the program. You have to do the program, but then.
Yeah. Well, and I felt that way when I entered the 12-step program and I decided to give it an opportunity this time, I decided I was going to give it a chance because I said it didn't work for me. And so I was talking to someone who I know really well. And I said, listen, it didn't, it wasn't my thing. And he said, okay, well, there's two possibilities. There's one possibility that it was introduced to you improperly and you don't really understand it. He was like, maybe someone taught you incorrectly. So, okay, misinformation, that's possible, highly possible. We're talking about drunks and addicts. You know, we screw up. That's what we do. And so I was like, well, that makes sense. And then the other possibility was it's possible that, Neil, you didn't try it and give it 100% of your effort and try all the things suggested. And I said, well, that's a guarantee because I know I didn't try it to the best of my ability. And so I made the commitment that I would give it a fair shot. And if it didn't work, I was going to come back and point my finger and laugh at everybody and say, I was right, you were wrong. But it worked when I did that. And it wasn't that every single component I feel like has to be a part of my life every day, but I found some very key components. And a lot of it has to do with a sponsor, you know, having someone to hold me accountable. A lot of it has to do with fellowship, being around people who encounter similar struggles as I do. So relatability and having people who can call you on it and be like, hey, no, I felt like this before and here's what's going on. And the all-time red flag is when you think you can do it on your own. Because I'm not open to the suggestion that we can do it all by ourselves. I'm not open to that because I think it's a dangerous, toxic place because that's where we found all the problems. And so, you know, again, different for everybody, but I think it's important to have a commitment. It's important to have accountability and it's important to have a network of people who know you, the ugly you and the good you. And that support you in a healthy lifestyle. So I think those things, doesn't matter where you get them, you need to have accountability, someone who's going to pour into your life, mentor, leadership, role model, and then you need to have a network of people who are wanting to live the same way that you're trying to live.
Absolutely. And those, you know, with the sponsor, the accountability, the network of people, and then possibly prayer and those things.
Well, and that's me personally. Without my spiritual foundation, without my spiritual relationship, I wouldn't be able to do any of it. But I think there's only one nowadays that completely ignores that, and it's Smart Recovery.
Right.
You know, because theirs is science-based. Essentially is what they say. Isn't that correct? So that's fine if that's your thing. But they also have a value system.
Well, you know, here you go.
I don't know where it comes from. I guess they got it out of a science book.
Right. And, you know, to be fair, we're going to do some smart stuff on the show, folks. I got some materials. We're going to offer it and I'm going to, It's right up my alley because of my training in terms of, you know, what I know through my academic training. And so it's right online with that. So I'll bring that. But at the end of the day, that person is probably going to, at a minimum, they'll have their morals, values, and beliefs, but then they're going to be in a group setting.
Yeah.
They're going to be in a group setting. And so they're going to practice things in that kind of a support group, right? And so that brings in the notion of other people. And it's I could say, well, I'm the one that has to work the program regardless. Well, that's true, right? So therefore, it's me. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? You're doing your part, but I think it's just where you focus that.
Yeah.
I'm the one that got out of bed today. I'm the one that decided to get dressed. I'm the one that went to work. I'm the one that makes whatever money at whatever job, you know, me. Okay. But don't throw the context out with the bathwater, you know, the greater, the bigger picture.
Right.
Which is easy to do, right? To throw out the bigger picture and just focus on me, you know, what I'm doing.
So. Yeah. And something that I always remember, one of the biggest differences in my life after or in recovery as opposed to before it is when I was in my addiction, seemed like I was always taking from life. Like my perspective was always to get mine. And now it's quite the opposite. I'm looking for ways that I can contribute. And how can I give here? Where can I insert myself and be of value? And I think if you can find anything that thinks like that and encourages others to be like that, you're in a safe place and you're in a good place. Generally, because I've never encountered any environment that's doing that and talking about that and it been an unhealthy environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 It's just the war on drugs. And you'll see, God, the war on drugs is right here between your ears.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, unless I'm the one making the drugs, what about where's the drugs?
Yeah.
Drugs are out here, right? That opium poppy is either in Sinaloa Mountains or somewhere in Vietnam. Right? Come on. So, you know, I can argue it either way. I love working in prisons because, you know, I take the other position just to have fun with guys. So it's, you know, you have to have that broader vision. You have to have that broader vision, you know.
Yeah. You and Sherrod, guys like you and Sherrod helped me a lot because the smart recovery thing to me, I found recovery in something very different. So to hear you guys talk about it educates me.
Well, I mean, even this thing right here, man.
Yeah.
This is smart up and down. And yet you have honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Thank God that's not copyrighted. Another joke, folks. But anyway, okay. So it's tomato, tomato. It's, you know, it's what are you going to focus on? You know what I mean? That's the beauty of human life, man, is that we are so multifaceted that it's an exercise in futility to try to trademark or, you know, some sort of, you know, human aspect and focus in on it and say, that's it. That's our deal. That's our Messiah. When it's so multifaceted. Anyway, I digress again, man. So, but yeah. And that's why this show and our near futures are going to be immersed with 12-step as well as smart, smart types of things, because not everybody's going to resonate with that. I've used cognitive behavioral stuff and smart stuff at first because it's non-threatening. I mean, not that the 12 step is threatening, but you know what I mean.
I mean, people can receive it that way.
Yeah. I'm not saying
it's, you know, I'm not afraid to say it, and I'm a 12 step guy. You know, it is It's not for the overly sensitive.
Right, for the faint of heart or whatever.
If you come in there a victim, you're going to get slapped around.
There you go. There you go. But so, right. And so what I use is some of these techniques to empower my clients because I'm all about empowerment. And then we learn another thing and another thing and another thing and another thing. And then, okay. And then go back to whatever spiritual framework they have, if any. And then see what we can put into a lens there, but if not, go back into more techniques, you know, in terms of.
Yeah. Just like your magazine, you know, and you have all these rounds and there's AA, NA, DAA, smart recovery, man, just keep shooting. Sounds eventually one of these is going to hit.
True. Yeah, those are program shots, right? This anonymous, that. But when I taught my kids how to play basketball, I taught them.
Why did you put basketball in quotations? Is it called something else?
No. Sorry, man. When I taught my kids to play basketball, we started with fundamentals. The free throw, the side shot, corner shots, layups. Passing the ball, layup. So I taught them the fundamentals of the game of basketball. So that's the larger heading, basketball, that's made up of defense, offense, and several different types of rudimentary shots. And so so in a pinch, in recovery, in teaching recovery concepts, there are some foundational recovery concepts that can be taught freestanding.
Yeah.
They can attach themselves like barnacles to 12-step, to cognitive behavioral, to this or that, right, to the other program. But if we can go through some of these fundamental pillars, so these guys get out of treatment, and then we'll see what they had been exposed to or what they mastered or whatever, and they may be in desperate need of some more fundamentals, cognitive fundamentals, interpersonal fundamentals, boundaries, limits, spiritual fundamentals for that matter. I've worked with some undeveloped atheists and said, wait a minute, you're not. Anyway, they were kind of leaning toward agnosticism, leaning toward endless Christianity. I'm like, you're not. Anyway, I've had to confront people on their own. Sorry.
We can all get a little bit
to do that. But I just kind of, you know what I mean? Anyway. Yeah. So funny. Those are the fundamentals. So we definitely go with that and teach that. Well, doggone it, that's another show for the day. It was a good one.
Grateful to be here.
Hey, man. Me too. Power's on and we're doing all that. So, Neil, tell us where folks can find us on Instagram and stuff, how they can find you.
Ours is concierge_coaches on Instagram and the Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook, LA Talk Radio. That's on iTunes and iHeartRadio as well, correct?
Yes.
It can Apple find Podcast me.
Is the new term, son. Come on.
What did I call it?
iTunes.
Oh, sorry.
So last year.
I know. I'm definitely so 2020.
Okay.
Mine is ElevatedLifestyleAcademy.com, ElevatedLifestyle_Academy on Instagram and Facebook, Elevated Lifestyle Academy.
And I'm at ConciergeCoach.net. Okay, folks, thanks again for tuning into the show. We'll see you here next week on LA Talk Radio. We have another fantastic program. May have a guest, maybe not. If not, we'll have some more fundamentals to bring to you. So with that, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much.
See you guys.
Here's Coach's Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.